Welcome to the Closing Market Report at September the 5th, 2007, a Wednesday. I'm Tom Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock out of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. We'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news in a few moments, and we'll hear an update of what's been happening around the Midwest with the statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska. Minnesota's not there this week, but we'll get four of the five top corn-producing states in the nation and their updated information on crop progress. And don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat futures at 842.5 or 35.5 cents higher. December contract up 30 at 835.5. July futures in the wheat pit at 626.25 for next year were up 5.25. From the corn pit in Chicago on a Wednesday, 328.75 for the nearby September's down 8. December at 345.75, 7.5 lower. And the March down 7.5 at 361.75. Next year's Dece at 396.75, down 4.5 cents. September soybeans, 889, down 3.5. November's 4.5 lower at 903. And the January's at 918.5, we're down 4. Next year's November beans were 3.5 cents higher at $9.18. September bean meal futures at 245.40, down 250. September bean oil at 37.31, were 12 higher for the day. Mercantile exchange numbers: October live cattle, $97 and a nickel, down 57.5 cents. September feeders at 119.10 were 20 higher. And the October lean hogs at $65.90 were down $1.17.5.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this trade. We're in the wheat pit, moving higher again.
You know, we discovered that India is basically building a grain reserve. There you have a pretty good supply of wheat, and the price levels are substantially below world prices, but they can want to build inventory for some reason, and they're doing it. And this was one of the major factors. We're here at these higher levels. We're also picking up, you know, a lot of wheat going to be planted, particularly in the Midwest here and also the West. Wheat demand is good as far as seed wheat's concerned. The bugaboo, of course, is this demand is great. The Australian government's rather reluctant in selling wheat in the world market because of some of the dry conditions in their part of the world. But the marketplace is on an unprecedented price push. Europe is a supportive factor to the marketplace. And, of course, this is all a result of, you know, poor crops in Australia, Canada, I mean, U.S., and also in Europe. All three add up to $8.35.5 prices on the December wheat contract in Chicago.
All-time highs for the new for the old crop. New crop awfully high as well. Will it convince some of your customers to sow soft red winter wheat this fall?
It sure seems like it. And all indication and the whisper in the seed houses and marketplaces that we are going to see a very healthy planting of wheat, whether it's a record or not, you know, we don't know that. But it's going to be a healthy planting in the West, and it's also going to be a healthy planting in the soft red winter wheat area. Also, you know, as a general rule, we did even hear that the EU was basically going to postpone or do away with their set-aside program on to encourage plantings of feed grains. All this still added up to a limit-up close in that old crop wheat.
Now, I've seen a lot of numbers from corn harvest that's ensuing across a good portion of the Midwest, or at least a part of Illinois now, across my email, and the numbers are usually in the 230, 240, 250, 280 range, just enormous numbers. And some of them are down at, you know, 16.9 or 17% moisture. Were you hearing the same sorts of things?
Yeah, and, you know, maybe I was talking about seed, the kernel size being a little small and the quick dry down a little too hard, much over in at the Farm Progress Show, but we are hearing that, and we do have to basically respect these numbers and go with the flow. FC Stone comes out tonight, and we are anticipating a very large crop. Our general expectation is that this anticipation is one factor why we did see the 8 cent sell off here, and then the Informa group come out on Thursday at 10:30 a.m. and, you know, right in the height of the trading, and with their numbers, the marketplace I think is still gearing for a smaller USDA report than the last one, but these numbers, Todd, are a big shock factor, and I think it is encouraging some of the selling.
And do you think producers ought to sell in to the face of this, given the numbers that they're looking at on their monitors at this point?
Well, you know, one question we are asking ourselves, it's not so much what the farmer should do, but what the farmer will do, and because I found that makes more money than anything else. And I think the farmer will be aggressive sellers at $3 on times 200 bushels to the acre. You know, they're faced with transportation costs and also high storage costs. And my hunch is that as long as we get $3 a bushel for corn times 200, there'll be a lot of corn move into the pipelines, per se, in the Midwest, Iowa, and Central Illinois.
Why don't you close this out with a quick word on soybeans?
My hunch is, and I think the whisper is, that we will ultimately see a smaller USDA number than the 41.5 bushel average. I'm sure it will be very hard if FC Stone raises their number on corn that they won't also kind of push the soybean number up as well. Our hunch is that the soybean is going to be a very strong commodity, and if we do come in with a bushel under the USDA number, we will see a lot of $9 beans next year. And what a way to start 2008.
Paul, we sure appreciate you being with us.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
In today's agricultural news, the Center for Rural Affairs has released a report that says the House-passed Farm Bill will provide large farms with more subsidies, allowing them to grow much larger by acquiring land at the expense of smaller operators. Chuck Hassebrook is the executive director of the Center for Rural Affairs. He says the analysis demonstrates that the House Farm Bill is not reform and claims that provisions in the House Bill tighten farm payment limits are inaccurate. The report is called Loosening the Limits and Tightening the Noose. Hassebrook says the House Farm Bill increases the limitation on direct payments by 50% over current law, and thus mega farms would be subsidized to bid land away from smaller operators, driving up cash rents and narrowing profit margins. Speaking of limitations on payments in the Farm Bill, we should check in with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. He says if Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid gives the 2007 Farm Bill the priority it deserves, the Senate could approve legislation by the end of the month.
I believe we can get it done, but it'll have to be through the Senate by the end of September, and then possibly out of conference and to the president yet in October, or else we'll have to extend the existing Farm Bill.
Grassley says that may be as short-term as 1 or 2 month extension to cover the time it takes after the Senate approval to work through conference committees and get a bill to the president. The question, of course, remains, will that final bill include the payment limits Grassley has long supported? Grassley says a farm safety net is needed, but without serious reform, he says it will become more and more difficult to get support for even a basic safety net. That's why he and North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan have introduced legislation to place a $250,000 hard cap on farm payments. Grassley expressed confidence that legislation will fare well in the Senate, but notes the House has been the trouble spot in the past.
We have not overcome in previous years opposition from corn and rice farmers in the House of Representatives, even though we know in the House of Representatives there's an overwhelming majority for what we're trying to do. I can't guarantee we're going to be any better off in conference than we are right now, except I believe that the philosophical approach of Chairman Colin Peterson is much different than it was for the Republican chairman of the committee in the past few Congresses. And it's that hope that when we go to conference, that we get a bill out of conference that will have payment limitations in it. And then we know that that will have the support on the floor of the House.
The House Farm Bill does move to strengthen payment limits, making individuals with a 3-year average adjusted gross income greater than $1 million ineligible to receive benefits from federal farm and conservation programs. But Grassley has described the House provisions as, well, laughable. And right now he says he just doesn't believe the AGI cap is the way to go.
I don't want to say I couldn't accept it. But I just think I better go the route we are now because we've been there before, a little more certain that it's acceptable, and for sure acceptable to farmers. I haven't heard much support from grassroots farmers for the AGI approach.
Grassley says he believes that's because farmers don't want to share information about their income, particularly off-farm income, with USDA's Farm Service Agency. We'll stay in Washington, this time with the Water Resources Development Act, otherwise known as WRDA. The 2007 Farm Bill and energy legislation concerning ethanol are at the top of NCGA's list of the priorities for Congress to address. The House and Senate have both passed versions of WRDA that would modernize the lock and dams on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. When the Senate passes the WRDA conference report, the bill will go to the president for his signature into law. Improvements of the locks and dams will increase shipping efficiency and help farmers market grain globally. The National Corn Growers Association President Ken McCulley says WRDA must get done this session, and he says it's likely to happen. It seems like we have the will of both the House and the Senate, says McCulley. And finally, this note, mostly out of Detroit, 5 motor vehicle manufacturers are coming out with flex fuel vehicles in 2008. Ford, GM, Chrysler, Nissan, and Mercedes-Benz will make a total of 31 models of vehicles with E85 compatible engines. And that's a look at today's Agricultural News. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. This is WILL Urbana. Please visit our website at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all kinds of MP3 files and podcasts of our daily ag broadcast right here on the radio station. You can sign up for our newsletter as well. Just hit subscribe. It's all at WILLAG.org. Well, with the Labor Day, USDA released its weekly crop progress report a day late, so we have those reports from the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Nebraska for you today. Minnesota not filing a report on this day. The numbers looking like this for the week in the corn. Mature now at 25%. Last year at 19% and 17% on the rolling five-year average. And dropping leaves for the soybeans this week at 14%. Last year at 12%. And the rolling five-year average at 11%.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending September 2, 2007. Warm, dry days have greatly aided crop maturity. Seed corn harvest has started and silage is being chopped. Sudden death syndrome is being observed in some soybean fields. The warm days are allowing hay to be harvested, while pastures have greened up, thus improving conditions for livestock. Farmers continue to prepare equipment and storage facilities for the upcoming fall harvest. The statewide average precipitation was 0.68 inches, or about two-thirds of the weekly normal of 1.03 inches. This was Iowa's driest week in 7 weeks. The statewide average temperature was 2.8 degrees above normal for the week. There were 4.5 days suitable for field work, compared to 4.9 days a year ago. Topsoil moisture rate of 3% very short or short, 80% adequate, and 17% surplus across Iowa. The corn condition rate of 10% very poor or poor, 22% fair, and 68% good or excellent. This compares to 10, 22, and 70% respectively from last week. Corn in dough stage is at 94%, 2 percentage points behind last year, but 1 point ahead of the 5-year average. Corn in dent stage is at 77%. Slightly behind last year's 81%, but ahead of the five-year average of 70%. 16% of the corn has reached maturity, ahead of both last year's percentage and the five-year average of 13%. Iowa's soybean condition is rated 6% very poor or poor, 21% fair, and 73% good or excellent. This compares to 6%, 19%, and 75% last week. 33% of the soybeans have leaves turning color, 1 percentage point behind last year, but ahead of the five-year average 30%. Soybeans dropping leaves is at 7%, equal to last year and the five-year average. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending September 2, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 2nd. Temperatures across the state last week averaged near normal, with precipitation totals being less than normal. And while northern Illinois welcomed the drier weather following excessive rains and flooding from the previous week's storms, southern Illinois crops continue to be under stress due to drought conditions. Flooding along streams and rivers in northern Illinois began to flow downstream and ironically began causing problems with flooding in some of the driest areas of the state. White mold and sudden death syndrome continue to concern soybean farmers in the wetter areas of the state, along with standing water and downed corn. Drier weather last week did help farmers as they baled hay, harvested seed corn, and chopped corn for silage. Combines were going strong in many areas across the South as farmers were harvesting their early maturing corn crop. In other areas of the state, corn harvest was only beginning as farmers shelled their end rows, attempting to find the fields with the lowest grain moisture levels. As for topsoil moisture supplies, the two southern crop reporting districts continue to be drought-stricken, with most of their acreage being reported as very short, the lowest rating. Statewide, topsoil moisture averaged 30% very short, 21% short, 44% adequate, and 5% surplus, a significant decline over last week. The corn crop continues to mature ahead of normal, with 92% in the dent stage. That compares to 85% 1 year ago and 77% for the five-year average. 44% of the crop was reported mature, leading last year's 19% and 26 points ahead of the five-year average of 18%. 5% of the state's crop was reported harvested, 4 points ahead of the 1% last year and for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn harvest was the Southwest District, with 36% of the crop reported in the bins. Soybean plants turning yellow advanced by 30 percentage points in just 1 week and now stands at 43%. This compares to 15% 1 year ago and 26% for the five-year average. 15% of the crop has now started shedding leaves, and this leads to 3% last year and 7% five-year average. In other crops around the state, sorghum plants were mature on 36% of the fields, which compares to 18% for the five-year average, and the third cutting of alfalfa advanced to 87% complete, the same as the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab reporting for the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Pond reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 2nd, 2007. Corn conditions rated 77% good or excellent, well above last year's 56% rating. Irrigated fields rated 86% good or excellent, while dryland fields rated 67, both above year-ago levels. Corn mature was 10%, behind last year's 15 and even with the 5-year average. Soybean conditions rated 77% good or excellent, well above last year's 58% condition. Alfalfa conditions rated 62% good or excellent, well above last year's 31%. Sorghum conditions rated 85% good or excellent, well above last year's 56%. Wheat seeded was 6% complete, ahead of last year's 5 and 4 average. Pasture and range conditions rated 60% good or excellent, well above last year's 7%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending September 2nd. A continued lack of precipitation aided the harvesting of early maturing corn fields in the southwestern Indiana. Across the rest of the state, farmers made preparation to harvest equipment and grain bins. Yellowing of soybean leaves was reported across most of the state. Topsoil moisture was rated 37% very short, 24% short, 37% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated as 37% very short, 28% short, 33% adequate, and 2% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 0.51 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 99 to a low of 49 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 6.3 days were rated as suitable for field work. 98% of the corn acreage is in the doughing stage, compared with 95% for last year and 93% for the five-year average. 79% of the corn acreage is now dented, compared with 70% last year and 62% for the five-year average. 25% of the corn acreage is matured, compared with 9% for last year and 12% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop is rated 44% good to excellent, compared to 71% last year at this time. 20% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared to 5% for last year and 12% for the five-year average. The soybean condition was rated 43% good to excellent, compared to 73% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, the weather still is warm. That means the crop is drying out really quickly. We're at some moisture levels that are really low. You been taking anything in there at the elevator?
You know, I talked to a farmer a while ago who has not particularly brought anything in here. He's gone to the bin with it. It's like 12.7, 12.8. This is corn.
Holy smokes.
I kid you not. And we've had some 13.8, 14.2, 14.5, a lot of 15s. And I mean, it's just absolutely amazingly dry. So far, most everything we're getting in here is off the sand ground, but yields are better than expected in this area. I'm sure you're hearing a lot of that.
You bet.
Test weights are good. And we had some beans in here that were like 10.7, 10.8, and they thought that field was going to make 50. So we're just barely into beans, but yeah, we're getting some sand corn in.
It all means if you haven't gotten the combine ready, you better get the grease circs done and get in the field today, I suppose, huh?
I would say so. I mean, this stuff is really drying down. I mean, it's amazing how much it's dried down, but so far, preliminarily, if the whole crop is any indication of what we're seeing on the sand, we've got a big corn crop, Todd.
Basis holding up in the face of this big crop or not?
No. You are seeing deterioration in this basis level. Strain values have slipped probably at least a dime to 12 cents in the last 10 days. Every day they go down 2 or 3 cents as harvest progresses further north. And it may not be as wide now as far as what the end user was offering to buy new crop train values for, you know, 2 months ago. But still, you know, we're better there in that level because it didn't get quite as bad as we thought. Nobody was selling any trains there. So it's bounced back a little bit, but it's going to get wider yet, there's no doubt.
And your bids for the day?
All right, cash corn is 313. That's the first half of September. All falls 304. All fall beans 828. And cash wheat is, my gosh, 733. New crop is 556.
Unbelievable. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Yep, Kate Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon in 2 minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. An 18-year-old girl has been arrested in connection with a threat last spring at Monticello High School. Police say Josephine Amanda Pierce was arrested this morning. The state's attorney hasn't been available for comment on the exact charges. Police responded to Monticello High School and security was beefed up last April 17th after students found a threat written on a mirror in a girl's restroom, not long after the Virginia Tech massacre. Last week, police had said their investigation was centering on a former Monticello student. A federal judge has sentenced a National Guard member from southeast Illinois to a month in prison for stealing and selling military gear from his unit. Judge Michael McCuskey in Urbana also sentenced Staff Sergeant Lee Shobe of Toledo to 5 months home detention and 2 years of supervised probation. Shobe pleaded guilty to stealing military gear after his arrest in January. According to court testimony, he stole body armor, night vision equipment, knives, and other gear worth about $37,000. McCuskey lectured Shobe at length this morning, saying such equipment often winds up in the hands of violent criminals. Shobe says he regrets the actions. A farmer from Gibson City has died after a tractor accident near his home. Ford County Coroner Doug Wallace says 60-year-old Michael Schroeder was mowing a ditch yesterday when he got too close to the bank. That caused the tractor to roll over on top of him. Schroeder's family called authorities when he hadn't been seen for several hours. He was pronounced dead at the scene last night. The state of Illinois is putting another $15 million into a mortgage loan program that helps people who have served in the military buy homes. The GI Loan for Heroes program gives people below-market interest rates on mortgages, money for closing costs, and classes on home ownership. Illinois' economy slowed a bit in August, according to a monthly gauge of economic performance. But the economist who issues the University of Illinois Flash Index says it'll take at least one more month to determine if the unease in the financial markets is translating into a slower economy in Illinois. Fred Gertz says the economy is still showing considerable growth, as it has since 2004. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist out of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about weather here in the Midwest.
Well, it looks like we're going to see a little bit more active weather for a little while. We've had a nice little break from all that flooding rain we had earlier on in August, but we're going to go back into a more active weather pattern for a little while. A couple of features to note, first of all, before I even give you the specifics on that forecast. First of all, is that there's a non-tropical low-pressure system that's out there between Florida and Bermuda that is going to acquire some tropical characteristics over the next day or two and then come back towards the middle Atlantic U.S. coast. And in doing so, it's going to slow down the west-to-east movement of weather systems across the Midwest. And I bring that to your attention just because there is a frontal system that will bring showers and thunderstorms to the Midwest as we get closer to the weekend. And if we slow that system down a little bit, we're going to increase rainfall potentials with that system. So that tropical weather event in the far western Atlantic will have to be closely monitored to help us determine how much rain will fall in the heart of the Midwest. Right now, we're expecting rain to begin in the northwestern Corn Belt sometime tomorrow and continue into Friday. Into Friday morning, we'll find the rain totals in the western Corn Belt running a quarter to three-quarters of an inch with some local amounts getting in the 1 to 2 inch range. As that frontal system comes into the heart of the Midwest, which will probably start to take place as we get into the Friday through Sunday period, we will see similar amounts of rain, a quarter to three-quarters of an inch, with some 1 to 2 inch totals occurring. And right now, it looks like some of the heavier rains will probably occur from parts of Missouri into Michigan. But again, all of this is going to be geared towards that tropical weather system, and the speed of which it reaches the U.S. Atlantic coast will have a lot to do with how much rain and when we get it in the heart of the Midwest. We feel pretty strongly that we'll see showers and thunderstorms across the Corn Belt. And it will be followed, by the way, by another set of weak weather disturbances next week, none of which are going to produce heavy amounts of rain, but we will see additional opportunities for rainfall as we get into the middle part of the week, and then yet another disturbance coming up in the second weekend of the two-week outlook. Harvest progress will probably be slowed a little bit, but I don't think we're going to see any kind of a quality issue on any of the crops. And you should also make note of the fact that there's going to be some cooling take place next week, with temperatures becoming a little more autumn-like after the very warm weather here of the next couple of days.
Well, Drew, we appreciate you being with us. That's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
And that is this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Be safe out there.